I'm just digging the music.
I'm waiting to push the right button.
Yeah, got to turn that thing on. Welcome to Upstead Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WORD with Philip Gentry and Tommy Springer. We come to you every week, and where the air outside is fresh, clean, and moist.
Man,
today.
Is it going to do it again this winter where it's like raining, like what, 5.5 days out of 7?
Yeah.
It's starting to look like that, man.
And, you know, it's going to do what it's going to do.
Well.
You know what I'm saying? As a fisherman.
Oh, my God.
As a fisherman. Well, I mean, you can't look. There's three things I told my kids early on. There's three things in this world no man can control. It's the three W's. It's the weather, wildlife, and women.
Okay.
They all three of them do whatever the heck they gonna do.
Right.
And all you can do is just deal with it.
But it's okay. Well, I try, but it's just, you know, the last couple years, you know, it's just kind of a little wear and tear.
Why,
on
you
this
bitch about it all you want. It ain't gonna change nothing.
All the time.
Yeah. Go on Facebook and bitch about it. That's what everybody else does. You know, it ain't gonna change.
Oh my God!
It's not like you can. This nobody votes on the weather.
If it's gonna rain like that, it's my hunt over.
Yeah. Nah. I'm gonna tell you one thing that I have learned, and we're kind of getting off on a tangent.
Yeah,
one of the things
are.
I've learned is that the rain and all that can work to your advantage.
Well, yeah.
Now, did you bring that up? The other thing that I want to talk about is deer hunting blues. Basically, that's where you have everything work out right. And sorry it worked out like this. Someone had to lose. It's the nature of the whitetail. It's the deer hunter's blues. I learned today, I can't friggin' shoot.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe, Philip,
yeah.
Maybe you need to have your eyes.
No, I'm good.
I mean, serious.
So everybody out there is like, what's he talking about? I had number three, probably number two on the hit list this morning.
Philip whiffed again.
Yeah. Basically, and you know, I had him standing at 100 yards, just standing there, and I knew he was coming, so I was ready. And I sat and watched him, and I was like, that's him. That's Sticker Bush. That's the one that the boat girl has identified. And I'm going to shoot him. And so just and missed.
And the thing about it is, you've missed more deer than I've even killed in the last 2 years.
Well, the thing about it, if you go back, I don't know if you pay attention to the show or even did I talk about it that much, but the number one on the hit list was a deer that she nicknamed Seven.
Gone.
Okay. I missed him. Actually, what happened, Will missed him first. My son missed him during muzzleloader season. And then I missed him at a chip shot at 80 yards. And then Boat Girl had him and another one fighting, and she missed. And I'm like, this has got to be the stupidest deer in the world. Keeps coming out. So I went to a different stand.
Killed him.
And killed him. And then the next morning, killed probably what number two. Was the same deer that we looked at on trail cameras.
Big, big body deer.
Big body deer. She nicknamed it. Here's the funny thing. When your wife is naming the deer, okay, it's like it makes it personal.
Yeah. Well,
okay?
True.
And so, you know, I'm headed to the woods, and she's texting me, don't kill Sticker Bush. Don't kill Sticker Bush. That's my deer. Don't be killing Sticker Bush. And I'm like, if I see Sticker Bush, I'm going to shoot him. But Boat Girl puts the juju on me,
right?
And I miss. I mean, there's no other explanation for it other than when I saw him and I figured that was him. And in the back of my mind, oh, boy, she's really going to be pissed when I pull the trigger on this thing. And I missed.
Hey, it's that spirit of the wife.
The spirit of the wife. There you go.
And I just made that up,
yeah,
by the
way. Spirit of the wife. Hey, you know what I would like to do? Talk about the deer hunter blues. You know how like some of these radio stations will do parody songs?
Yeah.
I can write
our own version of the deer hunter's
of
blues.
Deer hunter's blues. Oh. I don't know what kind of copyright you have to get and all.
It don't matter. You know, we're doing whatever we want to here.
Yeah, but we can't play it on the air
because the suits from downstairs. Right.
Yeah, Hendrix would be like, well, copyright infringement.
I believe I could probably come up with some good lines after a good 12-pack.
You talking about line, you talking about lyrics, all right?
Lines, lyrics. After the sixth one, it don't matter no more.
All right, well, let's talk about today's show. We're going to start out the show after I complain about missing a deer again.
It's okay, Phil. It's been a good year, though, for
season's
you.
Not over.
True.
Season is not over.
Don't you kill my deer.
Yeah, that's it.
I got a feeling you're going to shoot Stinky
Boots. I wish you people could see Phillip's face.
And if you do, I'm going to cry.
When he imitates his wife. And it's priceless.
She put that on my Facebook page last night. I saw a bunch of does last night. If you shoot Stinky Boots in the morning, I'm going to cry. So.
And I've had the pleasure to meet Boat Girl, and it looks just like her when she...
That's it. But we're going to start out the show with the Upstate Outdoors blog talking about one of the biggest angling best-kept secrets is fishing during the wintertime. Yeah, that's what most people say. That's why it's so good, because ain't nobody else on the water.
Not a whole lot of competition.
Not a whole lot of competition, and so we'll touch on that. And, of course, a lot of winter fishing has to do with how you dress, being careful, stuff like that, because... You know, I mean, it's not like I fall out of the boat regularly.
But stuff can happen.
But I do miss deer, so I mean, that's the next thing, you know, get older. So I have fallen out of the boat. Unintentionally.
I have too.
And it's falling out of the boat.
But it was 95 degrees, so it really
there you
no
go.
Big deal.
So you just swim over and grab the boat. But falling out of the boat when it's cold, you know, that's not a good thing. But so we'll talk about that at the Upstate Outdoors blog. And then Chris Wells, the bass chaplain, the day that everybody's been waiting for is when he's doing the raffle for the boat today. Mm-hmm. The Nitro Z18, I think it is.
It's a beautiful boat.
$40,000 bass boat with all the bells and whistles. And
it's got some good juju on it.
Yeah, he's been promoting that, been promoting that all year. And I tell you what, this is and you still have an opportunity to buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They're $100 a piece. You can go to chriswells.org. And buy your ticket, and your odds of winning are something around 1 in 600.
It's not bad odds.
Tell me where you're going to get better odds at that at a 40,000. And plus, if you don't win,
it's going
you've
to a great
supported
cost.
Chris Wells' ministry, Well-Spoken Ministries, and so it's a win-win situation. So we'll talk with Chris, and actually they're going to be doing the drawing right down the street here at Cabela's at 5 o'clock, and he said, "Hey man, we'll be accepting tickets or selling tickets until 4:30 today. So you got plenty of time." Then, keeping in the fishing vein, we're going to got a great report. Looks like Lake Murray down in the middle part of the state, down around Columbia, is on fire. Got this from anglersheadquarters.com, and it's a fishing report that not everybody gets because you got to be a customer. And he sent Jay sent us a courtesy link to that, and so I like to promote that, and also it's got some good information on that. And it's Springer after the second hour, Roadkill Cafe, and we got Hootie Hoot.
Hey, cuz, he's going to be dead quail in my future, okay?
Yep.
I am pretty sure about that, all right? Almost positive. Fried quail with mushroom gravy.
Fried quail with mushroom gravy.
Get you some.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, referring to the, in 5 years, we've been doing radio together.
5 years,
we've never
brother.
Done a hunting trip together.
Never.
But we're going to go down to the Clinton house, and we're going to do a remote. That's going to be on the 15th of December. We'll be doing a live remote from the Clinton house, and that will be after the morning hunt. Talked to Mike Johnson last night. We're going to do it in the afternoon because Springer liked to get up early.
Hey, folks, he's just telling the truth.
But
I don't say it like that.
He said, here's Springer. Nah. Y'all go ahead. I'll have breakfast for you, ready for you when
Bingo.
You get out of the woods.
Bingo.
Nah. It's just too early. I'm like, look, man, you're either going to hunt, you're going to get up early.
I'm there, brother.
So he's going to be there.
Anyway.
Then during the second hour, we're going to have Alex Frazier. He's from Cabela's up the street. And I kind of wanted to make this the gift version, the Christmas gift version.
Which is a good idea.
What to get the sportsman. You know, we always wait till the last minute and kind of screw it up. And so this year I said, hey, since it's been Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Giving Tuesday and so
run over your neighbor Thursday.
Run over your neighbor Thursday and miss a deer on Friday. And then Saturday is What to Get the Outdoorsman.
That's great, Philip. That
so
was good.
We're just going to fill out a complete week. So we're going to have Alex on the show with us. He'll be actually be in the studio
yes.
with us.
Looking forward to that.
And talking about Christmas gift ideas for the sportsman in your life. And also got a he'll have some stuff and then bring something in from the Wide Open Spaces. And then we will round out with the calendar of events. And your parting shot is
unique.
A story about Dick's Sporting Goods and their move.
Bad decisions.
Yeah, bad decisions. Making bad decisions. Let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog and talk about more zany, crazy activities in the outdoors.
It's Philip Gentry, Tommy Springer, Upstate Outdoors. Stay tuned.
So, going to the text line, which is not 71307, but the personal text line.
From, 'cause I looked, I was like, what?
From Boat Girl.
Okay, here we go.
Says, okay, so I'm going to take the next 3 weeks off work and hunt sticker bush.
And you know what, Boat Girl? That's exactly what I think you should do.
Yeah, I don't think Marty's going to go with that. But anyway. Winter fishing is angling's best kept secrets. One of the best kept secrets in the entire angling community is fishing during the winter. It might not exactly be a secret, but there is a large contingent of anglers, I'm pointing to my left.
I see you.
Who hit the water sometime in March just before the spring spawn, fish through the spring and early summer, and then start to peter out once the weather gets hot. Oh, man, it's too hot out here.
Never hear me say that.
Those same anglers may get back on the water a time or two in the fall, but with no real dedication, and you can forget winter fishing. The secret is that wintertime fishing can be some of the best of the year. Food for the fish is harder to come by, so the fish tend to bite more readily when the opportunity arises. Other fish species may actually prefer cooler water and therefore become more active in the wintertime. And I'm specifically thinking of striped bass and even Arkansas blue catfish. Now, the number one and two considerations when fishing in the winter are attire and safety. And the first has a lot to do with the second. Just like riding a motorcycle in cold weather, learning what to wear and how to dress negates much of the adversity while reserving much of the enjoyment out on the water because you're pretty much assuring you're going to have the water to yourself. Now, for fishing in the upstate of South Carolina, where the daytime temperatures, for the most part, stay above freezing, anglers who know how to dress can keep themselves warm and dry during a day on the water. Dressing for wintertime fishing is done in layers, and specifically in three layers. The first is the base layer, and that's the layer that goes next to the skin. The purpose of this layer is to cover the skin for comfort while allowing perspiration to wick through so that moisture won't accumulate under your clothing. Base layers are mostly thin synthetics or wools. Now, here's where we talk about cotton. Okay, cotton might be warm, but it absorbs water and should be avoided in any of the three layers that you're wearing during the wintertime. The list includes cotton socks, jeans, and T-shirts. You say, well, why? And I've done it, too. I wear cotton all the time, but if you're in a situation where, you know, let's say you start to perspire close to your body, mm-hmm. and then that moisture is absorbed by that cotton layer, and then you get cold. I mean, how many times, I do this at a deer stand a lot. Like, I'll walk in and I'm wearing too much clothes.
And you get a little wet, a little sweaty.
You're a little sweaty, and then I get in there, I freeze to death. Now, the second layer is the mid or insulating layer. These are the garments made of denser, thicker synthetics, wool, or down. This layer traps air that's warmed by the body but doesn't collect moisture. Fleece, down, and I say other synthetic materials. They got a bunch of polypropylenes and
all kinds of stuff.
It's kind of like, and I silk is one of them, but, you know, I would hate to tell somebody I was wearing silk underwear when I was out fishing. But, I mean, hey, if you're cool with that, it's cool with me.
Exactly.
During the midday, this layer, the insulating layer, may actually be the outer layer if conditions permit. Now, the final layer is the outerwear. These need to be both windproof and waterproof. The outer garments will vary for fishing on a mid-50s day in January compared to fishing on a lower 30s temperature-wise day. A rain shell materials work for average days, while dry suits have become very popular for mm-hmm. harsher days. And don't forget about your extremities. Who could ever forget? Your neck, your head, your face, your hands, and your feet.
Those are the two that kill me, Philip. The hands and feet.
The hands
man.
And the feet. Now, the same principle applies for each of these areas. Make sure that you have the skin covered for comfort, insulated for warmth, and protected from wind and water. The problem with fishing, especially for your hands, is I have yet to find a pair of gloves
yep.
that will keep my hands warm and still allow me the feel that I need. And the same thing goes for hunting. Of course, with hunting, you know, you don't need your hands as much
Bingo.
Except for pulling the trigger.
Exactly.
But when you're fishing, you've got a lot of, you know, you got to get a lot of feel, especially casting, stuff like that. Now, a final note about preparation for being on the water in the winter. Safety practices deserve the same preparation as fishing and launching plans. That means you need to be, if you're going somewhere in the wintertime, you think about, okay, well, the fish are doing this and they're going to be here and I'm gonna put, you know, I'm going to try to, you know, drop shot or whatever, top water. You also need to be thinking about, okay, here's also what I'm going to do. I'm going to pack an extra pair of clothes. I'm going to let somebody know where I'm putting in, how long I'm going to be staying, and when I'm expected to be back. PFDs are also a must. That's no exception in the wintertime. Additional clothing, like I said, stored in a dry box or a bag is also necessary in the event that you go in the water. Lastly, always file a float plan, or better yet, take somebody with you. That way you got help.
Bingo.
Learn to dress, keep yourself safe, and you'll open a whole new world of angling opportunities by fishing during the wintertime.
And to the text line we go, silk is a great base layer and not as expensive as you might think.
Yeah.
Thank you, Texter.
Yeah.
What's the coldest you ever fished
in? Plus, it makes you feel pretty underneath
okay,
all
if
that.
You, I don't know. If you say so, brother. What's the coldest you ever fished in?
11 degrees.
Good God.
And
was you on crack or what?
Actually, no, and it's kind of funny because this picture right here that's on the Upstate
there
Outdoors
is.
Blog
wow.
that you can see at 1063.radio.com. Yeah, I'm in kayak fishing.
God.
Coldest I've ever been out. And actually, I did it because I called a buddy of mine up and I said, hey, man, it was on a Monday and
right.
I had Monday off and I said, let's go fish, man. It's supposed to be 11 degrees. Let's go get in the kayaks and go fish. He's like, man, you crazy.
Exactly.
And
that's what I'd have told you.
It warmed up to 18 degrees during the day.
Wow. But yeah. I wouldn't even have told you that, because the next thing you'd have heard when you'd have told me that was, the phone got hung up. But look, you're holding what, 12, 14 pounds?
12, 14, man, that thing, I weighed it.
20?
It was 25.
Wow.
And the tail wasn't even, I couldn't even lift it up
high enough. He probably ate a live herring too, didn't he?
No, he ate a crappy jig.
Oh, my God.
Tipped with a minnow, because one of the secrets, I'm going to tell you another secret, too. For striper
how
fishing.
How many monster fish have you caught on a crappy jig?
A bunch. And people tell me, well, you used crappy fishing and caught that striper. No, because every time I go fishing, and this was in January, every time I go crappy fishing in the cold,
right.
I end up catching stripers. So I was like, because I knew, you know, and the buddy of mine that I had called had said, hey, I know this place on Hartwell where a lot of stripers would go in because it's deep and they run up on the flat.
Yeah.
And that, it was one of those things where it had stayed warm pretty much all season, and then, boom, we hit this cold spell. Okay, I mean like a really frigid
right.
cold spell that we anticipated would cause a bait fish die-off.
Right.
And when you can fish the first bait fish die-off of the year.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah. And so basically my thought was, these fish are going to be feeding on threadfin shad that are about that big. And when you piggyback one together,
it looks about the same.
It looks the same thing.
Exactly.
And then it's swimming, and the one piggybacked on the back, he can't swim too good.
It's that hook
paid
that
off.
Would bother me.
Huh?
It's that hook on that crappy jig that would bother me. That's all I'm saying, dog.
Hey, you know, hey, number two hook.
Wow.
Caught it on a jig that I poured myself, so.
Biggest bass, you know, one of the biggest bass I ever caught, I caught it on a number 8 Amberdeen.
Yeah.
Because he ate my brim that I was reeling in.
Well, and we're getting into a whole different story.
But I'm sorry.
The largest striper I've ever caught, I caught on a number four mosquito hook, because I was messing around with trying to resize the hooks to
right.
the size of the bait. And I didn't like the fact that like a 1-0 or a 3-0
right.
kale hook just didn't look natural.
With the bait.
So I started using smaller hooks.
Right.
And fished on Lake Russell years ago and wound up catching a 40-pound striper. And, I mean, a lot of it's luck, too, but he was hooked good.
Right.
He was hooked good, right in the corner of the mouth in a good spot. But not a whole lot of bite on a number 4 hook.
Right.
So, you know.
You have to play him like real easy.
Well, the thing about this striper that's in this picture that I caught kayak fishing was I caught him on a 10-foot B&M crappie rod.
Excellent.
With 8-pound test.
That makes a big difference.
And, so he almost had me spooled out. I had to pedal hard to catch him.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, anyway, let's go to our break. That way we can ring up our buddy Chris Wells, who is about to give away a bass boat, and you still have time to get your name in the raffle.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Philip Gentry, Tommy Springer, Money Penny, and the Mississippi Queen. We'll be back right after these messages.
And we're back with the radio broadcast, talking about a man who's on the run. It's our buddy.
He's not on the run. He's fishing the aquarium like something Springer would do.
But he's been on the run between Charlotte, North Carolina, and the boy stays on the run anyway.
True.
He's going to whatever fishing venue.
Correct. Speaking venue.
And now he's up at the Cabela's in Greenville. And, Chris, welcome to Upstate Outdoors again.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I thought about you, Springer, when I made the first cast in the Bass Pro Shop tank.
I said,
this is the spot that me and Springer can catch him in right here.
And, Chris, I'm thinking, okay, I seen that on Facebook. And I said, look, man, now Springer, okay, you can see Springer doing that. But the preacher is fishing in the aquarium at the Cabela's.
You know, but I'm going to tell you what, Chris, and correct me if I'm wrong. You know what the biggest difference was between you and Springer?
Here we go.
What's that?
You put the fish back.
I'd have took him.
Hey, how much one of them dehydrators right there?
Exactly. I'd have took him over there to the cooking section, got some oil, and got her done.
Springer would have said, he'd have turned around and said, oh, did I tell you folks, we're going to have a fillet and demonstration in just a minute. As soon as I catch two or three more of these,
bingo.
And I'm going to show you how to fillet these fish.
That was it. Well, I'll tell you, they told me, they said, Chris, only two people at Bass Pro Shop has permission to set the hook in the tank.
Oh, boy.
And that is Bill Dance and Morris himself.
So my goodness.
They gave me a rattle trap with no hooks on it.
Cool, man.
But it was still fun. I think I had a big old striper hit it on the first cast.
So that's cool.
It was pretty cool.
That's great.
I got to feel the strike and let him run around the tank a little bit. It was a dream come true for me.
You could have floundered him. You could have floundered him, Chris, where the a flounder will grab hold of a bait.
And just hold it.
And just hold on to it. And then you got to finesse him to the boat.
Oh, I'd have netted him for you, Chris.
And then got the net. Yeah.
That's exactly. I tell you what, it was fun. It was a dream come true. And,
awesome.
And I enjoyed, being up there. It was those guys are great at the Bass Pro Shop in Charlotte. Love them.
And speaking of a dream come true, somebody is going to have a dream come true at about 5 o'clock today. When I guess, is it you or you got? Do we have a whole big process for somebody to draw the name out of the hat or wherever?
The entourage is here, and the plan is just to choose someone out of the audience to come up and reach their hand in and pull out the golden ticket. And I just can't believe that today's here. And we're up here at Cabela's, and we're just talking to people, and it's been a great, great morning. It really has.
Well, let's promote it one last time, because there is still time. If somebody's out there and they're like, I really would like a $40,000 bass boat, you can still buy tickets up until about 4:30 today.
That's great. You can buy them online up until 4:30. But you can buy them in person all the way up until about quarter till. And so you can come in here if you're running late or your internet doesn't work, run through the doors and say, don't shut the doors till we get in. and you can get your ticket. But they can go to chriswells.org and get their ticket. And we can take that. We got our my wife and Andy Montgomery's wife is sitting at the table right now taking orders. And I really want to throw out props to Andy Montgomery. He's here today. At Cabela's, and he's signing autographs, and it's his anniversary.
Wow.
He is here on his anniversary, and he brought his wife to Cabela's to work in the Well-Spoken Ministry booth. And so I'm just throwing a big shout-out to Andy Montgomery. It's been pretty awesome.
And real quick, maybe a little off the subject, didn't Andy kill a nice buck this week?
He killed a monster.
That's what I thought.
He's been chasing that thing for a long time. He said that, you know, it came up, and he said the buck came in, you know, a couple of days ago and then turned around and went back out. But it got within 35 yards of him a couple of days ago. He put him down.
Good.
And, I mean, he put him down, Springer.
Anybody can hit a deer at 35 yards.
Yep.
It's not like it's a big deal.
He hit it with an arrow. And for
bingo! Yeah. Shut up over there, Philip Gentry.
I only say that, Chris, because I'm lamenting over a 125-yard shot I missed this morning when we were talking about earlier in the show.
You know, you're like me. You get torn up every time one comes out. I just get, even if it's a doe, I'm like, my heart's beating out of my chest. That's why I know I'm a deer hunter, because I love it so much. It's so much fun.
And, you know,
it gets me like that.
There's a lot to be said for that, and it's like I want to see deer. I want to see deer. But if it's not the deer I want to shoot, I want that deer to go away so my heart will stop beating.
Please. Yes,
so, okay, exactly. Okay, I saw one. I saw. I can count that. I can tell somebody. But don't stand near. That makes me nervous, man.
Over Thanksgiving, I had one come on me, and I couldn't sleep for days. I'm like, oh, my word. And so But we're excited to, you know, to be up here. It's just been such a blessing. I can't believe the day is here, but, you know, they can still get a ticket. And if you want any questions about Well-Spoken Ministries and what we do, you know, come on by. We'd love to talk with you.
Well, for those out there who were just thinking about the boat, okay, what are we up to as far as the odds of winning?
I think the last time I checked, it was just a little over 500. And so that was our first goal, was to get to 500. And so we're a little over 500 now. Now, some guys have bought upwards of 40 tickets. So, so they like their chances better. But we got plenty of tickets up here, and we'd love to show you the boat and come up here and look at it. The boat is all detailed and ready to go. And I also want to throw a big shout out to Cabela's. The manager up here, Mr. Long, JD, if you don't know him, he is a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he allowed us to come here, and he said, man, come on in, draw that thing right here. And so we're right up front. When you walk in the door, you can't miss the Win This Boat banner. And it's the last time it's ever going to be up.
That's our spot when we do a live remote from up there. You're right in front of the fireplace.
How'd you get that thing through them big double doors, Chris?
Boy, I tell you what, we had to break it down. And I got an engineer over here, and he duct taped it up, so we're good to go.
And that's funny because I'd actually talked to Caitlin Harbin. She is the promotions person there at Cabela's, and was like, hey, Caitlin, we want to come be on the show. We're talking about Christmas gifts for the sportsmen. She's like, I finally have one weekend off, so I'm going to be gone. So now while she's gone, JD's picking up the promotions by having Well-Spoken Ministries give away a bass boat there. She's going to go.
Well, thanks.
Thanks for having all this stuff while I'm on vacation for a weekend.
It was really cool. It was really cool. And I tell you, we really thank them and JD. They've been great. I'm thinking about cutting across the parking lot and going over to the beef jerky place and, the jerky house over there and give me some jerky.
Hey, they got fried crickets over there too, Chris.
Yeah,
they're not bad.
The chocolate chuck.
You're on my diet.
Okay.
It wasn't it the chocolate covered
they
crickets?
They had chocolate covered crickets.
Oh, I can't do the chocolate covered
hey, crickets. The, I ate some when we done a live remote there. They were fine. Mm. I'll eat anything.
Man, yeah, Springer, you're my hero.
No problem.
Well, Chris, it's been a long year, and so it's got some Chris Wells juju on that boat too.
Absolutely.
You fished out of that thing a good bit.
Well, I tell you what, I have, but we didn't put that many hours on it, but it has been a marvelous boat, and the boat is in tip-top condition, and, you know, it's got great electronics on it, and it's got two power poles, and those power poles just, you know, they change your life when you fish with a power pole, so it's been good.
All right, so let's go back through one more time. Tell us what we got. Tell us about the whole package on the boat.
The whole package on the boat is it's a 2018 Nitro Z18. It was one of the first ones that came off the lot in 2018. It has a Minn Kota trolling motor on it. It has two power poles. It has two Lowrance depth finders. One is an HDS-9 with side scan, and one is an HDS-7. And it has got a hot foot, and it is as loaded as an 18-foot boat can get. It's got a 175 Mercury Pro XS motor on the back, and it will scat, and it shines. And it's red, and the boat is red, black, and white, silver, and it just looks fantastic. And so, really good. You Bulldog fans are really going to love this boat.
Yeah.
If you're a Bulldog or a Ohio State fan, you're really going to love it.
All right. And the most important thing, Chris, it's been blessed by the Bass Chaplain.
Amen. It's been prayed over many times.
And so, and that boat can be yours. Tickets are $100 a piece. You can go to chriswells.org, or better yet, going up to the Cabela's and meet Andy Montgomery's wife, right? Her autograph.
That's right. And tell her happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. $100. You can buy as many as you want. And even if you don't get drawn, you are promoting Well-Spoken Ministries and promoting the ministry that Chris does, going all over the country, all over the world, to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's a win-win all the way across the board.
Amen.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Hey, and do me a favor. Can you tell Andy and Miss Montgomery we said, duh, huh?
Yeah.
They'll know what we're talking
about. I will do that right now.
All right, man.
All right, Chris.
God bless, brother.
All right,
guys.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
You
bet.
It's a good man right there.
He's also going to be live streaming the choosing of the raffle.
Sure,
so
is
a lot of stuff going on. I'm really happy for Chris.
And what else are you going to do out in this weather today?
Yeah, that's right.
Go to Cabela's.
Let's go to a commercial, and then when we come back, we'll give you an up-to-date Lake Murray fishing report right here on Upstate Outdoors.
Tommy Springer, Philip Gentry, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Upstate Outdoors will be back on the flip side. Stay tuned.
Welcome back.
Get your motor running.
Head down to Cabela's. Buy your raffle ticket.
Get that bass boat.
I wonder if they'll let you. Wonder if JD will let him to the winner. I wonder if the he'll let them fish in the bass tank there.
Wow.
He probably just puckered up and went, no. Don't tell him that.
JD wouldn't expect. He wouldn't expect nothing less from you and
they
I.
They said what?
Huh?
Well, I heard it on the radio. They said I could come here and fish if I won the bass boat, and I won. Give me my rod.
And I want hooks in the lure.
Yeah, I want hooks on this one. Tell Johnny Morris he. How come every voice I do is my boat girl voice?
I don't know, but it just is it's the awesomest thing, dude. It entertains me every Saturday. Yeah. I mean, I love it.
But you're easily entertained.
I live the married life of Philip and Boat Girl vicariously through Philip Gentry.
I tell you, she'd be throwing a white fluke in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be her thing.
Or a bucktail.
I don't know about a bucktail. I know she'd be throwing a white fluke
DT6. Well, I'd go over there and get me one of those doggone new live target baits.
Yeah. Oh, she likes live target.
Oh, they're beautiful, man. Anyway.
Well, speaking of fishing reports, we always know that the fish are biting into Cabela's and the Bass Pro Shops. But if you're down at Lake Murray, this is according to anglersheadquarters.com. Go on there, and you got to log in and get you it's Anglers Headquarters Insider Fishing Reports. They update these, and they got some really good information on there. Lake Murray water levels right now are at 353.63, so just about, I don't know, 6 feet below full pond at 360, and surface temperatures are in the mid to upper 50s. Man, that's what
perfect.
I like.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I knew you lit up like a Christmas tree.
The water clarity is improving, meaning, we got a lot of water in and it got muddy.
Right.
But the mud is settling out. And according to Captain Brad Taylor, there's a lot of good action on Lake Murray right now. Despite some of the dirty water, but I don't really mind dirty water.
I know you don't.
Especially for crappie fishing. The striper fishing might be a little bit different. And Captain Brad says that the striper fishing right now never really got messed up because of the mud. The fish essentially ran from the muddy water and tucked into areas like Little Saluda, Buffalo Creek, and Rocky Creek. And those areas kind of stayed pretty clear. So the fishing was always good. And he said the best quality fish right now are from Dreer Island on up the lake. That's about midway. He says a typical late fall, early winter pattern on the live bait side. Free lines and planer boards are working. Anglers are also having some success throwing bucktails and ice flies. That's one of them things that they do at Lake Murray. Won't work anywhere else.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
you try to take a bucktail and an ice fly on a leader and throw it back. I won't say it won't work, but.
But it really works there.
And the funny thing about it is you can take a jigging spoon and go to Lake Murray. And you can take a jigging spoon on that same pattern at Lake Hartwell and just catch
hammer
fish.
Hammer time.
But you can throw that bucktail and ice fly on Hartwell all day long, and it won't do that much good. You take it down to Lake Murray. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. And it's the same, kind of the same thing. You're looking for birds working, and they're thick from Buffalo Creek all the way up into the rivers, and there are plenty of keeper fish. I just hit the wrong button and it just took off. Talking about fishing report.
At a rapid pace it did.
At a rapid pace. Captain Brad also says that the crappie bite has been really good and they're catching a lot of nice fish in 10 to 12 feet of water over brush, about 20 foot deep on the upper end of the lake. You can also tight line or even troll for these fish. Basically what he's doing is he's anchoring in one place and dropping minnows and jigs down vertically, just kind of bumping around over those brush piles. Mm-hmm. Now on the bass fishing front, FLW angler Andy Wicker, who lives down in Palmyra, reports there's been a good bite up shallow as well as deeper water, even though the water's dropped a lot. We talked about that early.
Right.
A lot of fish have been eating spinner baits and crankbaits, fish shallow in the wind blown areas. Now they like that muddy water because they can't see as good.
True.
Let's see if I can do this again. Okay, there we go. There also been some good action with Alabama rigs and jerk baits. That's because everybody hates Alabama rigs, right? They just want to destroy
it. Catch fish, man.
Everybody just wants to destroy it, Alabama
rigs. Catch fish, man.
But you're throwing those along steep banks that drop off into deep water. Now, catfish action. Now, I'm going to tell you what, of all the bites on Lake Murray, the catfishing has probably been the best.
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize that Lake Murray has got a lot better than Lake Hartwell.
True.
They got a good blue catfish bite, even though there's a lot of people keeping a lot of catfish out of there, which I don't particularly agree with, but whatever. Captain William Attaway reports rain and muddy water didn't even slow the catfish bite down.
Wow.
Fish can be caught drifting in 30 to 45 feet of water, or I'm sorry, 30 to 45 feet deep. And some days they're close to the river channel, while on some days they're on the flats off on top of the channel. And most of the time they're closer to the main lake in the mid lake areas, but not a whole lot of fish up in the creeks yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're gone from out of the creeks. So the catch is a mixture of blue catfish and channel catfish. Now, I'll make an exception to that. You catch a channel catfish are like white perch almost.
Okay.
Okay. If you catch one and they've got some big ones down there, let's say you catch an 8-10 pound channel catfish,
mm-hmm.
Maybe we put that one back. A lot of people wouldn't. But anything smaller than that, there ain't no shortage of channel catfish anywhere.
Right.
The blue catfish, typically most of the guides will tell you that keep whatever you want in the 10 to 15 pound range. Once that blue cat gets up to about 20 pounds, a lot of catch and release going on there. And I support that too, because we got some good fisheries there.
You do.
And the days that you see where people are like, man, we just loaded the cooler up with catfish.
Yeah.
Man, I hate to see that, especially when it's 20s and 30s. Okay, if you want to load a cooler full of channel catfish, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
So, good fishing report off of Lake Murray. And if the water temperature's there in the mid-50s, mud's cleaning up, then pretty much you're going to have a good bite everywhere except Lake Kiwi.
And we got some serious cold weather coming.
Ain't no fishing
Lake
Kiwi.
So, I don't know how all that's going to change. You know, it's going to change everything. We got some serious temperatures coming about midweek.
I thought we were supposed to be where this
weekend. We'll be 71 Sunday.
Yeah.
And then by about Wednesday, nighttime temperature is going to be back down in the 20s.
Wow. There you go.
That's a drastic difference in range of temperatures there.
That's when you need to layer up, right?
True,
and go back to the beginning.
True.
We were talking earlier in the show about the late dove season. When's that come in?
I'm not sure, Philip, but I know the big
birds
are here. The big birds are here.
Well, and that's testament to the fact that they're getting a lot of cold weather up north.
Exactly.
Pushing those big doves down.
I mean, I could have went out on my porch this morning, fired three shots out of my Ithaca 12-gauge shotgun.
Yeah.
I'd have had my limit on the ground. I mean, these
How do they feel about you shooting them off power line like that?
My neighbors love me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's no problem. But anyway, what I'm saying is it's a big difference, and it just happened today. You know, I'm usually seeing about 12 to 15 of the local birds. Well, this morning I looked out there right about daylight, and they just started coming in from everywhere, and they looked like little B-52 bombers coming in. And by the time they all got settled in there, they must have been 35 birds on my feeders this morning.
So. And they all pull for Ohio State, so you know they're those northern birds.
Well, they must, because they
Michigan, they got that blue on, and Ohio State.
All of them, especially the ones that come from the north side of the house, flying over the driveway, they leave me a nice on the car.
There you go.
Yeah. Leave me a mess on the car.
So the northern birds are here.
Giving Springer the finger.
Give me that Alabama. You see that Alabama thing in there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Awesome. Let's go to a break for the hour. We'll come back on the flip side with the Roadkill Cafe.
Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Tommy Springer, Philip Gentry, Money Penny, bringing you enjoyment, entertainment, and knowledge on this Saturday. Stay tuned.